Nancy Reagan may be gone, but the just say no myth and the state repression which backs up the drug war live on.
This is Min Notes and Commentary from the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
Nancy Reagan ran this country. It was she, not her husband, who was your president. On every visit she made to drug rehabilitation centers, she cried as she listened to the young people tell their horrific stories of addiction. She clapped as they recited the triumph of their recovery. She ended each session by saying, "I'm so very proud of all of you."
Kitty Kelly's analysis of who ran around the White House aside, it's important to recognize the two-pronged attack of the war they called the War on Drugs. Nancy carried the moral and psychological torch, while the police, military forces, and prison authorities got down to business downtown. "When a person is a drug addict," said Malcolm X, "he's not the criminal. He's a victim of the criminal. The criminal is the man downtown who brings this drug into the country." The U.S. government has a vested interest in having whole populations of people locked into the drug trade, economically or physically or both. The state and its allies use drugs to facilitate social control of the masses. In particular, the government wants to control groups with the greatest revolutionary potential, the Native, Latino, and African American communities. The groups of people who produce this country's wealth live in poverty and conditions of stagnation. Poor and unemployed, inundated with degrading messages, and surrounded by an imported drug economy, some members of these oppressed nationalities see drug use and trade as attractive and necessary for survival. While drug dealing in many cases is a fast ticket to prison or death, it also pays a lot of food and rent bills. When the choice capitalism offers is poverty and humiliation or dealing drugs, there is little choice. And in a society where materialism and the good life are valued over human life, dealing drugs to buy nicer things and attain higher social status is perfectly logical by capitalist standards. The man downtown that Malcolm X referred to is the police, the government, the CIA, Oliver North, George Bush. The drug trade means money for the state, fear of oppressed nationalities by the middle class, and death and social control for the potentially revolutionary masses. But while the media-hyped drug war focuses on African-American and Latino men as the most dangerous populations, whites, in fact, make up more than three-quarters of all illegal drug users. This media image portrays weak character, laziness, and natural immorality as the reasons certain people cave in to drugs. And so the privileged public cries out for more police, more prisons. The war on drugs is a fake. If the state wanted to stop drug imports, it could. While American prisons have continued to operate above capacity, with steadily increasing populations since the start of the drug war, there is no evidence that trade has diminished. Almost one out of every four African-American men in his 20s is in jail or prison, on parole or probation. Is this a serious attempt to stop drugs, or to stop certain groups of people? Government-supported drug imports, police occupation of poor neighborhoods, and poverty-induced desperation all work to the advantage of those in power. This social control helps consolidate the capitalist power. Responsibility for allowing drugs into the United States rests with the American government. Call it an investment in social control. For example, research by the Christic Institute exposed a secret team composed of past and current government and CIA officials. This covert team used opium and cocaine smuggling to finance underground operations, including assassinations and coups in Cuba, Southeast Asia, Chile, and Iran. Malcolm X said of the drug trade that you and I will never strike at the root of it until we strike at the man downtown. That was in 1964. All the Nancy Reagans and Just Say No TV commercials, all the prisons and executions since haven't changed this fundamental truth.
For more information, send your questions or comments to MIM Notes and Commentary, MIM Distributors, P.O. Box 3576, Ann Arbor, Michigan, 48106, or write to this station.